Man, something has happened to me. Every time I see little babies, I start smiling now. When Renee first suggested a kids club, I was like, now I love it. It's so awesome seeing people showing up with their babies and to think about that we're going to be raising our kids together with this whole different way of approaching the world, right? From an empowered place. And maybe if we are careful, our kids won't need to go to like a mindset workshop when they're 40 to fix all the shit that our parents fucked up with us. But they did it with the best of intentions, and I'm sure we'll fuck up our kids in our own unique way. Which is another way of saying that the personal growth, personal development industry is alive and kicking for a long time. Peace of mind. We all want peace of mind? Is there anyone who doesn't want peace of mind? Liars. You're liars. Some of you desperately don't want peace of mind. Some of you do everything you can to avoid having peace of mind, don't you? Yes, you do, right? You go after shiny objects. You mess up your business so that you can have something exciting to do. You know what you've got to do, and what you got to do isn't that sexy, and it's not that exciting, and it's a little bit scary. But it's going to bring you peace of mind, so instead you do something else. And by you, I mean we. We all do this. We've got to be really deliberate and intentional about the decisions we make in our business. Because the easy decisions are not the decisions that bring us peace of mind. You might want to write that one down. That could be worth coming to this whole event. The easy decisions don't lead to peace of mind. Peace of mind comes from the decisions that are difficult. So let's talk about what not having peace of mind does to you. And I'm choosing the word to you very, very intentionally. Think about the physical toll that it has on us when we don't have peace of mind in our life. We don't sleep well. The biology of our body changes. The cortisol levels go up. We retain fat. We don't get fully rested. We have more stress. Our blood pressure goes up, all from lack of peace of mind. Emotionally, we become less resilient when we don't have sleep. We become less resilient when we're under constant stress. We become less resilient when we don't have peace of mind. We become less emotionally resilient. Our decision-making suffers when we don't have peace of mind. Think about the decisions you make when you don't have peace of mind. Think about the decisions you make when you're in a state of disrest, emotional distress, mental distress, confusion, frustration, anger, irritation. Those are never the decisions you wake up 10 years later and say, wow, I'm really glad I made that decision. Those are always the decisions you later on have to fix. So you're physically less capable. You're emotionally less capable. You're making decisions from a distressed place without full mental faculties. You're basically functioning on the level of a moron. I'm serious. I'm completely serious. And when I say you, I mean we. This can happen to any of us if we're not diligent, if we're not careful, myself included. There are times when we allow ourselves to lose our peace of mind, and we wake up and we realize, we look around us and we realize, I've basically been functioning like a moron. I'm so smart. I have all this education. I have all of this information available to me. And yet, the quality of the decisions that I'm making is just plain frickin' stupid. We make stupid decisions. Because we're not sleeping, because we're anxious, because we're uptight, because we have exhausted all of our emotional resilience and capacity. So what do you think it does to your business when you're operating in this state of mind? Think about it. Take inventory of it. Right? You start and then you stop. And we could apply that to anything. You start and then you stop a marketing campaign. You start and then you stop training something. You start and then you stop hiring protocol. You start and then you stop documenting your standards and your policies and your procedures. You start and then you stop meeting with potential referral sources. Not a month has gone by since 1999 in my life. Not one month has gone by since 1999 that I have not had materially the following conversation with at least one ostensibly smart lawyer who's acting like a moron. Goes like this. Those basic fundamentals of law firm management were working for me. Things were getting better. And so I stopped doing them. Why? Why would you stop doing what's working? And the answer is, I got stressed out, I got distracted, I got busy doing other things, I lost sight of the fundamentals, and I stopped. That's how this whole business started. This business actually started because I got bombarded by having that conversation. I started off, after I left the Florida Bar, I started off with the Law Office Management Assistant Services of the Florida Bar. Some of you know this. Some of you are new. You don't know this. At the tender age of 27 years old or something like that, 1999, August 24th, 1999, whatever age I was back then, I think I was 27, I shut down my law firm, and I reported for duty as a small law practice management advisor with the Florida Bar's Law Office Management Assistance Service. And for the next almost 4 years, my life was very intense, let's just say that. I would spend about half the month in the office fielding calls from lawyers on every aspect of starting, marketing, managing, buying, selling a law firm. And I would field the call in the beginning. I would field the call. And then I would go and sit with my boss and my mentor, who was probably knew more about the business of running a small law firm than anyone else then alive, then or since probably. And I would sit in his office, and he would basically teach me what the answer was and show me the research and the data and the case studies and help me think it through and help me come up with the right answer. And then I would get back on the phone and I'd call the person back and I'd say, I've done the research and here's what I think we should do. That was like about a year, my first year of working at the Florida Bar. That's all I did every single day. And when I wasn't doing that during the day, at night and on the weekends, I was like reading books and taking courses and going to seminars to learn about this stuff so that I could be self-sufficient. Then I would go out and I would be assigned to go to disciplinary consultations. This is where when a lawyer had been found guilty of violating bar rules, and the disciplinary committee determined that the reason, that the cause, the root cause, had to do with a failure in the business management, the management of the law firm. when that was found to be the root cause of the violation of the bar rules. In other words, the violation of the bar rules was the effect, and then you trace the effect back to the root cause, and it's a failure in the management of the law firm. Failure in the marketing leads to bar grievances. And I don't mean because you violate the advertising rules. What I mean is because you turn the marketing on, then you turn the marketing off, then you turn the marketing on, then you turn the marketing off, then you turn the marketing on, then you turn the marketing off, and now your cash flow is a freaking roller coaster of insanity. And then the next crazy client who you know better than to take with a case that you really probably shouldn't accept walks in the door with cash in hand, and you're so desperate for revenue that you take the case. Fast forward 6 or 9 months, guess what happens? Bar grievance, right? Sales leads to bar grievances. Failure in the sales process leads to bar grievances. If you don't know how to sell, if you don't know what causes a sale and what prevents a sale, if you're not consciously aware of what's going on under the surface when you're meeting with a prospective client, you're out of control. You don't have control of that process, and that sets up a sequence of events which leads to bar grievances because the client has the wrong expectations, you've got the wrong expectations, the client doesn't agree to abide by policies and systems and procedures, you don't charge enough, and so you set yourself up to not have enough money to really service the case or the matter the way it should be serviced. You don't set the client's expectations properly for what this case or matter is going to do for their life. And so halfway through, they start second-guessing, why did they hire you in the first place? And you end up having bar grievances. Can everyone see these connections? Yeah? But I can go through all 7 parts if you want me to. Failures in each of the 7 main parts of the law firm, in the failures in each of the 7 main parts of the management of the law firm cause bar grievances. And so for 3 years at the Florida Bar, when lawyers had violated bar rules and the disciplinary committee recognized that it was a failure of management because they didn't have a business plan, because they didn't have a marketing strategy, because they didn't have a sales plan, because they didn't have any documented processes or systems or procedures, so everything was like, you know, everything was like your first day at work, figuring it out over and over and over again until you have a bad day and you miss something, as opposed to relying on systems. Failures in staffing, hiring the wrong people, waiting too long to hire people, hiring people and then failing to properly train them and set them up for success. Failure to have any kind of systems or dashboards or metrics to hold people accountable. And so you've got, you know, a crazy circus full of clowns going on in your firm. Failures in planning for the physical plant of your firm. And so your whole staff is frustrated and bogged down because you don't have the cash reserves to replace the equipment. And so for the last 6 months of life on the computers and the software and the copy machine and everything else, everyone's using antiquated junk, which causes cash flow, which causes stress, which causes longer hours, which causes mistakes. Failures in control of the finances of the firm. So you end up waking up one day and realizing you've been making all these apologies to your kids and your family and your friends that you can't be there for them, you can't attend their after-school activities, you can't be fully present because you've been working for people, oh, by the way, for free. These are the causes that lead to bar grievances. And when these causes were discovered in the bar grievances that were prosecuted by the Florida Bar, and they realized if we don't fix the root cause and we give this person his or her license back after their suspension, they're just going to have the same exact problem again. And that is why the Florida Bar in 1980 created the Law Office Management Assistance Service Program. And it is the first state in the whole country, and we have a running dispute with Ian Doddington from Canada as to whether we're the first in the world or whether he's the first in the world to create a Law Office Management Assistance Service program to prevent the problem so we can stop prosecuting the effect. That was my life for 4 years, having 5 to 6 to 10 calls a day, 5 days a week, that's 25 a week, twice, typically about half the month, that's about 50 calls a month with lawyers complaining about effects of bad management. And here's the thing. Law firms are really simple businesses to run. They're really, really simple businesses to run. I know some of you have spouses and significant others. Some of you are the spouses and significant others of the lawyers in this room right now. And some of you are running construction companies, and some of you are running HVAC companies, and some of you are running delivery companies, and some of you are running in-home repair companies, and you're thinking to yourself, these people are fucking morons. The law firm is so simple. It requires virtually no working capital to start a law firm. Tell that to someone who needs to buy $500,000 worth of equipment to start a restaurant. A law firm, you know, requires relatively few moving pieces. There's only 7 main parts of a successful law firm, and each of those 7 main parts all happen in an office under supervision. Try crying the blues to someone who's got to buy a fleet of trucks and hand the keys to those trucks to a bunch of strangers with the request, please don't drink during lunch before you drive the truck with my name on it to someone's house where you'll be unsupervised with their personal belongings. Yeah, law firms are real simple businesses to run, guys. Notwithstanding the fact that they don't teach us anything about this in law school. But then you add to that all of the things that cause you to lose your peace of mind because no one's taught you about the marketing and no one's helped you with the sales and no one's helped you with the workflow processes, thinking through the workflow processes. No one's given you a simple system, a proven process to reliably set your team up for success. No one's taught you this stuff. So you don't have peace of mind, which causes you to lose sleep, which causes you to have anxiety, which causes you to start initiatives and then stop initiatives and start initiatives and then stop initiatives, which causes you to change directions, you know, like that dog in Up, squirrel, you know, going after different things. You lose momentum. You have indecision. You're full of doubt, you're full of fear, you're full of anxiety. Every decision is like this mountain. The decisions become very painful when you're making them from that state, don't they? And so when they're painful, you avoid them. And when you avoid them, they get worse. So think about what it can do for your business when you actually give yourself peace of mind, right? Because you don't get peace of mind unless you think of get in the active phrase, like I'm going to go get that, right? You get peace of mind by going after it and grabbing hold of it. That's how you get peace of mind. No one gives you peace of mind. You give it to yourself. I'm just going to make this as clear as I can. If you don't have a CEO helping you run your law firm, you're a fucking moron. I'm serious. Would you expect anyone to be able to run a successful business without someone making sure that there's a business plan and a marketing plan and holding the decision makers accountable for their decisions and helping them make better decisions so they can pull them out of the, you know, out of the forest so they can see that there's a forest and not a bunch of trees? No. Every one of you violate your own good advice that you give to your clients, don't you? You tell your client, I mean, You cross-examine the shit out of people, some of you, for doing the exact same stuff that you do in your own business. And by you, I mean we, because I do that all the time too. That's why I have a CEO. That's why I have a coach. That's why I have outside advisors, just like we're your outside advisors. So think about what it can do for your business if you are the only lawyer in your city, or maybe the only lawyer in your practice area, or maybe there are other lawyers in your practice area, but you're the only lawyer in your city with your practice area who has your unique point of view, who's actually making business decisions, who's making marketing decisions with peace of mind, who's making staffing decisions with peace of mind, who's making hiring and firing decisions, when, who, why, to hire, fire, train, with peace of mind. Who's making decisions about your investments in the physical plant with peace of mind. Think about what a huge competitive advantage that could give your business. So where does peace of mind come from? I've been studying this since 1999. And I could be wrong, but this is the conclusion that I've come to after studying thousands and thousands and thousands of owners of small law firms. This is the conclusion that I've come to. Peace of mind comes from faith. Peace of mind comes from faith. I don't think you can have faith. I don't think you can have peace of mind unless you have faith. If you don't have faith that things are going to work, you can't really have peace of mind. But think about the person who has faith. In the middle of a storm, in the middle of chaos, in the middle of all the crazy stuff going on, the person who has faith has peace of mind, and they're in control of themselves, and so therefore they can act upon the circumstances instead of being a victim of the circumstances that are happening around them. Little tangent. Praise. And I'm not a particularly religious person, and I don't want this to come off like a religious sermon. This is not what this is. I have total respect for anyone's religious beliefs. This is not what this is. But I say things like faith, and I say things like praise, and people start thinking it's about religion. It's not about religion. It's about faith, and it's about giving people praise. You don't have to be religious or in a church to have faith that something's going to work and to give a person praise, right? But think about the level of emotional maturity where most people's praise comes from. Most people give praise before or after the thing they're giving praise for. After. That's not praise. That's just saying thank you. That's just being polite. Study all the major religions, and they all agree on this point. Giving praise is something you do before the gift, because you've got faith that the gift is coming. You give your staff praise before they've done a good job, because you have faith that you've given them all the training, all the tools, all the resources, all the opportunities to do a good job. And you've got faith in your systems and your processes and your procedures and the methodology that you followed in finding and hiring these people in the first place. Then you can give people real praise. You can say, I'm giving you praise for the great job I know you're going to do. And it's real, and it's authentic, and they can feel it because it's real and it's authentic. And if you say it like it's a script, and I know we've all read these management books, I've read them too, and they say, you should give your staff praise, and basically this is what's happening. This is on an energetic level, this is what's happening. I'm going to act this out for you. Oh, shit. I desperately hope this person doesn't completely fuck up. I have no way of knowing whether they know what they're doing or not, but the book says that I should give them praise. I have confidence in you that you're going to do a great job! right? And it's just like you're sucking all the goodness out of that relationship. Praise requires faith. So let's talk about how you get faith. You earn faith. You earn it for yourself. Faith comes from preparation. Faith comes from maintenance. Faith comes from ongoing attention to the things that matter to you. If you think something through, and you plan something out, and you care enough about it to write it down, and you respect yourself enough to get someone who knows what they're talking about to give you some objective feedback about that which you've written down because you've thought it through and planned it out. And then you devise some simple tests to make sure that it works before you just, you know, take a leap of faith. You don't take a leap of faith in business. You take little incremental steps. You test something, it breaks, you go back and you fix it. You test something, it breaks, you go back and you fix it. You test something, it breaks, you go back and you fix it. That's how you build a solid business that you can have faith in that it's going to keep working for you. So you want peace of mind. At this point, you recognize the price you're paying for not having peace of mind, right? Personally, it's devastating to our personal relationships to not have peace of mind. Parenting without peace of mind, it's almost child abuse, don't you think? Being a spouse or a significant other, when you yourself don't have peace of mind, I mean, that's what causes a lot of divorces, isn't it? Running a business without peace of mind, it's expensive, it's excruciating, it's scary. You're basically operating your business as if you were a moron. And I'm telling you, I've been there, I've done that. I'm not judging you. I've been there, I've done that, and sometimes I catch myself doing it still. But you put systems in place and you surround yourself with the right people who can call you out on it, who are empowered to call you out on it, who are incentivized to call you out on it. So think about what happens when you have faith in your, think about what happens when you've got peace of mind when it comes to your team. Peace of mind that you hired the right people. Peace of mind that you hired the right people because you took the time to think through what you needed the people to do. You took the time to create a scorecard for what you were looking for in an employee. You took the time to engineer the position for how the position was supposed to work and how the position was supposed to make a profit for you and how you were going to grade and score and keep track of the performance of whoever was doing the position. And so then you devised and created a recruiting mechanism where that brought you lots and lots of prospective candidates. So you weren't just hiring the first warm body that walked through the door, but you were really making the choice of the best, not a choice of the only. And you took the time to start the recruiting process before you were desperately looking for someone's help so you could make an empowered decision instead of a desperate decision. And then you invest the time to set that person up for success by not hiring the wrong person and set that person up for success by implicitly, or better yet, explicitly telling them when you're recruiting them that while we don't make it easy for you to come to join our firm, we don't make it easy for anyone to come to join our firm, which is how you know that you're not going to be surrounded by a bunch of crazy people at work, because we have high standards. And you got the peace of mind of knowing that you invested the time to devise and create an onboarding process, an onboarding mechanism. And then you invested the time and the money to pay that person to go through the training before you throw them into the line of fire, before you throw them into the middle of something. You actually take the time to train them. And I don't mean for a couple of hours. I mean for a couple of weeks. The first couple of weeks is just training. And then you give them documented processes and documented procedures and documented systems and documented checklists. Systems run businesses. And you've got metrics and KPIs as key performance indicators that you're using to objectively measure people's performance. And then you have peace of mind when you fire their fucking ass. And you don't sit there beating yourself up for months. Well, I don't know. Did I give them a chance? Did I not give them a chance? Did I give them all the tools I need? Did I not give them all the tools I need? Am I being fair or am I not being fair? No, you gave them every chance. You set them up for success and they simply threw it in the garbage. For each new CEO, COO, COO that we recruit to provide services to you, we probably interview between 5 and 10. Many of those interviews end with them telling me to fuck off because of the questions that I'm asking and the pressure that I'm putting them under. For real. They respond to a short job description. They put their name backwards in the subject line. A third of them don't ever do that, so we don't bother looking at their resume. We ask them to write a short paragraph about why we're asking them to write a short paragraph about a message to Garcia. About half of them don't do that, or they get it wrong. Then we do a screening interview. Then we do a quiz. Then they interview on the phone with three different people from our team before they talk to me. And about 10 people go through this process for every one that actually even gets to me. And I talk to 5 for every one that we actually hire. And then once we hire them, for the first 6 weeks, they get their full base salary plus all benefits. And their job for the first 6 weeks is to do nothing but go through our training. And that is why I can, without any hesitation, say you're fucking fired because you fucking suck because I set you up for success like nobody's business and you threw it in the garbage. Am I being unfair and unreasonable at that point? That's how I have peace of mind. That's how I have peace of mind when I hire them. That's how I have peace of mind when I fire them. That's how I have peace of mind when I hand them $1 million of business that I went out and bled and sweated and cried for in some cases, and I hand $1 million of business over to one of these CEOs or COOs or CFOs and say, please don't fuck this up. And I can say to them, I know you're going to do a great job because I've set you up for success to do a great job. That's where the peace of mind comes from. Sound like a better way to go through life? I promise you, I wasn't born knowing this stuff. I learned this stuff through the school of hard knocks. This whole live quarterly meeting is dedicated to giving you all the tools and resources and training that you need to get yourself some peace of mind. Are you going to do it? All right. It's a great live quarterly meeting we have in store for you. Normally, I start these live quarterly meetings by asking the new members to stand up so we can welcome you. So let's do that before we get going. 2 minutes, okay? New members, stand up. Welcome. Okay, they got it. They got it. I'm on the clock here. New members. I don't know if you were looking at each other. Did you notice that not everyone who was in the room yesterday is in the room today? Right? Some of the people that were in the room yesterday are not here today because they themselves chose not to make the investment in themselves and their future to be here. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say some of those people, we didn't impress them enough that we were going to be able to help them. And that's on us. That's not on them. But two of the people that were in the room yesterday, and I'm not going to name names, actually filled out their paperwork, and we said, no, thank you. And I'll let you guys try to guess who that is, but I swear to you it's true. One of you knows who I'm talking about because you were sitting right in front of that conversation. This is a very special place. We have a no-assholes policy. We take that no-assholes policy very seriously. We joke. We hold each other accountable. We challenge each other. We sometimes give each other some shit. But it's all from a place of love. It's all from a place of knowing that we can all be successful together. There is no such thing as competition. You are in a safe place. How many of you have been coming to live quarterly meetings for the last 5 years? Raise your hand. New people, look around. People under 250, look around. How many of you have grown your business by at least 20, 30, 50% in the last 12 to 18 months? Raise your hand. New members, look around. Right? Thank you. You got to keep in mind, the average solo small law firm in this country is growing by 3 to 5%. And you just saw a whole bunch of people raise their hand saying that they're growing their firms 30, 40, 50%. The world we live in is so far removed from the world that most lawyers live in that there's a little bit of an adjustment you're going to have to make. I'm saying this to the new members. It's going to be a little bit scary. When it gets scary, get onto the forum, reach out to your fellow members, and understand that everyone went through this before. Okay? So welcome for being here. This live quarterly meeting, after this session, we are going to be splitting the groups. Who's got a red book? Okay, people with a red book are going to, Renee, people with a red book are going to go where? Just call it out. Red book, after the break, you're coming back to this room, move to the front. Blue book, you're going to go to the room next door. I forgot which one is which. One is under 250. We split the group between firms that have revenues under $250,000 in gross revenue and firms that have revenues of over $250,000 in gross revenue. Because we have two very different lessons, because the things you need to do to set your staff up for success when your revenues are over 250 are very different than the things you need to do to set your staff up for success if your revenues are under $250,000. And so we're going to split up the group. All right? Where is Kristen David? Kristen David, music.
This girl is on fire. Welcome, everyone. If you've been listening and taking notes for the last 45 minutes, you should have at least a good page and a half already written. I was over there scribbling, typing back and forth. Arjun's already given you so many of those nuggets for success. And I can't wait till some of these breakout sessions this afternoon, later this morning. So many good nuggets, because staffing in my law firm was one of the key things that I had to overcome to grow my business. And so I'm just super pumped up for this entire LQM. But as always, we spend Saturday mornings together talking about the victories, talking about the great things that have been accomplished in the last 90 days. Because it's just so amazing how much you can get done every 90 days. And I want everyone to really recognize and be inspired by the other people that are going to jump up to the mic in a little bit, because there's something to learn from every person that gets up here and shares their story. And I promise you, every single one of you in this room have done amazing things in the last 90 days. Now, some of you are very frustrated with yourselves because you're not as far along as you want to be, right? Like it's right there. Your fingertips can touch it, and you're pissed internally that you're not there yet. Like we all are driven. We all have these goals and these things we wanted to get done in the last 90 days. And I want you to all not get so focused on what's in front of you and that you didn't quite get done, and instead turn around and look at what you did accomplish. Because there are many things in growing a law firm that your ultimate prize has been in the things you stop tolerating, the things you stop doing, and the things you started doing. And one of the things we talk about with staff, with stop tolerating and getting rid of dead weight, is sometimes we refer to getting rid of some staff as addition by subtraction. You get rid of one of those low productive people, and that actually adds to your team. Like you actually grow the team in leaps and bounds just by getting rid of someone who wasn't the right fit for your firm. How many people have terminated somebody in the last 90 days? Look around, everybody. It happens frequently, right? How many people wish they would have terminated sooner? Yes. We tolerate shit way too long, right? We know in our gut it's not working out. And yet we keep them on. We keep them on. And in my case, back when I was a member, I wanted it for my staff more than they wanted it for themselves. I saw that diamond in the rough. I knew their potential. And yet they didn't rise to the occasion. And I didn't take the time to really be clear with myself of what I wanted and what I needed until I got those policies and procedures in place, until I had the written job descriptions, until I had the objective documented proof, this is what this person needs to do their job. And then when that gut feel was telling me something's wrong with this person, right? That's when I was able to turn around and say, wait a second, let's see what the objective data shows. If they're on the legal team, were they being productive in billing? If they were non-legal support staff, I had lists and KPIs of what this person had to do to keep their job, to be a rock star on the team. And if they didn't meet their list, that told me objectively I needed to cut bait. And there were many times that I had to have the conversation. On a personal level, I really enjoy you, but as a business owner, a decision, all together now, a decision has been made. Today is your last day, right? It's very easy words. Inside, it's kind of hard to say, and especially if you really like the person. How many people have staff on their team that you recognize you like them a lot and it's a friendly relationship, but they're not productively giving you what they should be giving to a law firm? Yes? I suspect there's even more hands that should have been raised. So listen, we're up here today right now to talk about what you've accomplished. And I want you to recognize that addition by subtraction is a victory. Getting rid of the dead weight. And it's not always dead weight. It's somebody that might have been a C player, but they weren't helping you be that A team, right? That's a victory. Writing down some of the things that you've accomplished in the last 90 days, like working on your policies and procedures, writing out those job descriptions, writing out their KPIs and checklists of what they need to get done. That's a victory. Those are the things that move your firm forward. And of course, we always have all those great stuff. Those wonderful celebrations of great activities, great marketing, great revenue. And we want to hear about those as well. So if everybody will turn to your workbook, there's a page in session one for you to spend just a few quick moments. New members, this is where the members that have been here a while, they're good at this part. They write fast. Because then we're going to take to the mic and you're going to get to hear from everyone, not everyone, but everyone that jumps up, and go through and talk about what it is they accomplished. So on the slide, hold on, let's see if I can. I'm not sure what page number this is. On the 90-day look back page. Go ahead and we're going to put 4 minutes on and have you write furiously, fast and furious, every possible victory you can think of. Everything you did from the last 90 days. All right, another 30 seconds. Financially, what have you accomplished? Personally, professionally. All right, you definitely have the opportunity to keep writing, but I don't even have to invite anyone up to the mic because we got two full lineups already. So we're kind of lopsided here, but we might take one or two on this side and then jump to the other side. But all right, so here's how it works, everyone. For those of you that are new, the members are going to say their name and their the magic statement so you know what they do. And briefly share just a couple of nuggets of their best accomplishments in the last 90 days. Take notes. Go up to these individuals at the break. Congratulate them. Ask them how they did it, right? Talk to them. They're, you know, a strict no assholes policy. Everyone in here is cool to talk to. So don't hesitate. Don't be shy. All right, so go ahead.
Hi, everyone. I'm Devika. I protect people when domestic violence threatens to destroy their bright future and reputation. My first win, my managing partner, I was new with her after the last LQM, Stephanie, she's amazing. I came to the last LQM in January with 36 cents in my bank account. Wasn't sure how I made it there, but I did. She challenged me with a cash crunch challenge of $5,000, and I had a $10,000 month in March. And so now she's challenged me for $11,000, but that brought me closer to my goal because my goal every month is to reach $15,000. My personal win is that after my parents went back to Delaware, my dad was in the hospital, my son was in the hospital with pneumonia, and then for the past 6 weeks, we've been living in a hotel because we had a flood in our house. So with four kids, that's really difficult, but my mindset has been kick-ass. I've not complained about it. I've seen every single blessing in my life, no matter what. And I even, that, you know, $10,000 that I reached happened after all of that shit, so that I was like, that felt really amazing. And I talked a little bit about doing a TED Talk. I had that TED Talk, and I sold my first painting for $1,000. So
awesome. Great job. Woo! That is called perseverance and just moving forward and knowing and believing and having that faith in yourself. Awesome. All right, we'll go ahead and go to Phil, and then we'll come over to Mike. Go ahead, Phil.
Philip Bluestein, Bluestein Law Firm. We help doctors build and protect their careers and practices. We had a ton of things, which I won't go through all of them, so I'll just kind of narrow it down to a couple, but this last quarter feels like it's been about 3 years long in a good way. We went through a lengthy pretty lengthy process. We hired a marketing director, and so she's been with us for now 3 weeks, and she's implemented one marketing program we've been wanting to do. She's working on two others and getting those, and those are in the process of being implemented, which will be happening. The first of each of those sections will be happening, one in May and one in June for those. So some big things, because we hadn't really been doing that type of marketing before. So that was a huge thing for our firm. We went to the Why workshop, which was a real eye-opener, really, to kind of define, like, what we're about and really to try and incorporate that on. And we're in the process of bringing our team together to kind of incorporate that into our whole firm and have that run through everything we're doing. Okay. And then on a personal note, my wife, Ellie, she was having car trouble, and so we came back from the last quarterly meeting, and I think the next Saturday we went, and we got her a new car rather than dealing with an old one. It's the first new car she's ever had in her life, so
awesome.
That was a really nice thing.
Great job. Good, good. Out of curiosity, how many people went to the Y workshop? Yes? Good? So for those of you that did, we do these workshops all the time of different types and things, but I know the members that I'm working with that went to the Y workshop came back just fired up about their brand, about what they stand for, about the mission of the firm. Complete, you know, just a clear vision of what they're building and growing, and building something that's bigger than them. Building a message that can get out there and really resonate and help people. So sometimes just those small little workshops are just incredibly powerful for the rest of your lives. So grab hold of workshops when they come up. Amazing. All right, Mike, go ahead.
Mike Wasick from Ricardo & Wasick. We help Florida homeowners save their homes, their money, and their sanity from banks and unscrupulous debt collectors. We got two personal things and one financial. I used to have a terrible habit since I was a child of biting my nails and destroying my fingers. And for 9 months, I've stopped. My hands look great. I never thought I'd be able to do that, but I did. Second thing is, 90 days ago at the last LQM, I stopped eating sugar and junk food, and I've lost 19 pounds. And the financial is that in the wake of Hurricane Irma last year, the feds put a freeze on all our new cases. So we've been going through a six-month extreme cash crunch. But since April 1st, we've had our best month ever through today. As a law firm, we've collected $125,000 as of today.
Woo! Nice. And that's what it means to have a lot of hard work that pays off. It's not always easy, but it will be worth it. Great, Mike. Go ahead.
All righty. First, we had been having a problem with an employee who was a paralegal who once upon a time was actually a valued employee in the office, but had been going through a lot of personal stuff on her own and became a B employee and then a C employee and then a D employee. And we were, because of these personal issues, we had some really heartfelt problems of like, we need to get rid of this person, but we don't want to get sued. So we didn't give her a raise, didn't give her really a bonus, and the universe came through and she left. And it was awesome. And we recently just hired a new paralegal who started and clearly has all indications of being an A employee. So that's awesome. I personally had dealt with a chiropractor, and there was a person who worked in that office, and they were closing very unexpectedly. They just literally closed within like a week. And there was an employee there who I knew who I just felt was something special. And I said, what are you doing? She's like, oh, I got to get my resumes out and things like that. And I literally made, because of the mindset and things that I had learned here, a snap decision that she was going to be valuable to my office and or to our office. And I hired her, or I offered her a job literally almost immediately. She has been a rock star. And she's our marketing person now. And one of my goals was to do videos and things. And with her help and her constant work with me and following through, I now post videos every single week online. My partner's been posting videos as well. We have social media stuff literally almost daily. And it has absolutely helped our presence and our state of mind and getting us out there in the consciousness of our community. That doesn't mean everything's great. After last LQM, I had a bunch of 30-day challenges that I created, and I failed miserably. But it made me realize if you put too many balls in the air, it's not going to work. Yeah. So the 30-day challenge as it related to getting on the forum every single day didn't work. 30-day challenge on certain things didn't work. But in the things that helped the business, those have been following through, and it's been great. But it also I learned from that, those failures, that I can't try to do too many things at the same time. This one was a huge thing for me. Everybody, or a lot of people, knew at the last LQM on that Sunday, I wore my Eagles jersey. And I had a lot of members come up to me to give me a hug in sympathy because they felt badly that I was going to have to go through, you know, the emotional drain of losing before the NFC Championship. So for all those people who gave me hugs, I am willing to give you hugs back because we are clearly the world champions right now. But more than that, I had been debating, I mean, the opportunity to go to a Super Bowl was huge, and I had been dealing with that. And 5 days before the game, a buddy of mine called me up and had two tickets, literally unexpected. And it was they were not cheap. And my wife was like, we can't afford it. I said, listen, this is a once-in-a-life opportunity. We will figure this out. I took my son to the Super Bowl.
That's cool.
It was unbelievable. The opportunity to not only watch them win, it was an incredible game, but to share that with my kid will never be forgotten. It was just, and I would not have done that had I not had the faith that Arjan was talking about. And it was just freaking awesome. And finally, you know, we go through our cash crunch stuff. I also got a verdict on a case. We haven't collected all the money yet, but we're planning on it and working towards getting the money in. But I had a case that we were offered $40,000, and I got a $700,000 verdict. And that's what we're looking forward to helping us in the future.
Awesome. So one of the things you'll hear a lot of, for new members especially, is that you build this business so that you can take those moments. And when those opportunities present, like taking your son to the Super Bowl, sometimes you're not sure how, but you make the decision, and the how always comes together. How are you going to pay for it? Okay, you got to hustle. Go find two more people to help, right? Be open for those opportunities, and when they come around, grab them quickly before they slip through your fingers. So kudos, Ron. All right, go ahead.
David Gibson, the Gibson Law Group. We help small businesses solve big legal problems from concept to courtroom. Now, as a Dallas Cowboys fan for 53 years, I sincerely thank you for beating the Patriots, and I hope going to the Super Bowl for the Eagles was indeed a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. But seriously,
all right.
three things quickly. Number one, we have a forum. Nobody gets on that forum. There are 16 posts on the forum in the last 4 days, 11 of which do not have a response. Kristen and Arjan are just about the only folks that are on the forum. I have a bunch of questions. Go on the forum and help me.
Okay.
Secondly,
get newsletter, on the forum, everyone.
Newsletter Pro. If you're not using Newsletter Pro, I highly, highly, highly recommend it. I signed up in December. It's $1,099 a month. I sent out emails to my entire contact list saying, hey, we just want to update our contact information for the coming year. I got 5 cases the first week just by doing that, and we've generated $30,000 in revenue just from the newsletter. It is so worth it. I highly recommend it. Lastly, addition by subtraction. I'm glad you said this, because I had the completely wrong mindset until you said that. I figured out on Thursday of this week that the office manager of my title company is a lying sack of shit who's costing me $10,000 a month. So, on Monday, I'm really excited about firing her ass, and I thank you for giving me the right frame
Excellent.
Of mind on that.
Go ahead.
I'm Melissa Emery of the Emery Law Office, and we go beyond the legal need to bring peace of mind to Kentucky and Indiana residents who have been injured in a motor vehicle accident. So when I came in January, we had just lost a staff member. It was a blessing. She did not like that we structured what her job was supposed to be. I also flew in and found out that my staff had skipped a sign-up because she brought her 3-year-old to the office. So I did not come into that LQM in a good frame of mind. Additionally, I was having health issues. I just felt miserable. So this quarter, we used the HTM method for hiring a new staff member. I only had to look at 6 resumes. I only had to interview 2 people, and they made it incredibly easy to choose just one. So she Excellent. Will be starting on Monday. We're very excited about that. I had bariatric surgery in February. I took a week and a half off, and my staff got their self together, and they had a whole bunch of signups that week, and they got them all onboarded. So it was a good week and a half off, and I've lost 30 pounds since then. We also set our goals to double our revenue this year, and right now we are on track for that. So I'm very excited about that as well.
Nice. Kudos. And kudos to the next quarter. Melanie.
Hi, Kristen. I'm Melanie from My Closing Lawyers, where we help homeowners close with confidence. And I've been in the program for 2 years now, and I, first time up at the mic. so I my passion in the law firm is the factory, and I often hide out there to the exclusion of other areas. And so I recently made a decision that I was going to start a new business and helping attorneys practice proactively and not reactively using practice management software. And so it was very hard to, number one, make that decision, but number two, do two businesses at once. And so I stopped taking new clients, and as of the end of May, I'm going to close down my practice and start my new company, Streamlined Legal, to help attorneys practice proactively and not reactively.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. I did want to take this opportunity, though, to thank everybody, all the members that I've had the opportunity of working with and the pleasure of working with and trying to build my practice with, and all the coaches as well, because it's been a great experience despite the fact that I'm not going to be staying with the law firm.
That's okay. Life is about change, right? And sometimes you make a decision to start a different path, and that's a good thing. And we all want the best for you and the success, and so we're excited.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Good job.
Hi, my name is Yana, and we help people protect their families and assets so they can leave a loving legacy. Sorry, I'm not usually nervous about public speaking, but I don't usually come up in front of hundreds of people and tell them about my failures. I joined 6 months ago. I only went to my first LQM 3 months ago. I was so excited. I was so fired up. And I came back to New York, and I came back to my office. And my new office I was moving into got delayed. As soon as I moved, my ex-partner made me miserable. As soon as I moved into my new office, literally the first week, both of my associates gave me their notice. And then on top of it, I got a call from super lawyers telling me that I was nominated, and then a week later, I got another call that said, I'm sorry, you were in the wrong pile. And I literally was the only person in my office at that time because all of my staff had quit, and I started crying and screaming and stamping my feet like my three-year-olds. And then I had some emails and phone calls with Josh, and I had some tips from Kristen, and right now I have completely restructured how my law firm works. I am not going to, again, try to hire new associates because they're cheap. Instead, I went out and found a number of really experienced and not really expensive, but sort of slightly above market rate paralegals that I can now bill out to my clients on an hourly basis. And instead of looking at my kind of C plus B minus employees sitting there making their salaries and I'm not quite sure what they're doing, I see someone working and I'm just thinking, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. On top of that, for the first time in my life, I actually have a list of my case files. I have 168 clients, and most of them are on that list because I haven't finished the final step of closing the file and reaching out to them and asking for a referral. And on the files that I've done that, 50% of them have resulted in new clients.
Nice.
And then, yeah.
Yeah. You guys talk about great back-end marketing, right?
Yeah.
It's a great stat.
Yeah. The other thing is, for the last 3 years since my twins were born, I haven't been doing any marketing whatsoever. And I've been pretty reliably able to live on the work that was coming in pretty comfortably. And that stopped probably due to the shift in staffing. And I had a really nasty cash crunch. And I was transferring money from my personal account into my business account. And regardless of that, I signed up for the policies and procedures workshop. And things did get better. You know, it was a kind of blip. You know, I'm not freaking out as much. But the first LQM I came to, I said, why would you pay more money to go to these other workshops when you're not doing well? Someone next to me was saying, I can't really afford it, but I'll put it on my credit card. I said, why would you do that? And now I realize the reason is to set yourself up for the success in the future. If you keep doing things the way that you're doing, I'm saying this to myself, if I kept doing things the way I was doing them, nothing was going to change. You know, something has to change, and realizing that something has to change is my biggest success. So thank you.
Awesome. Great job, Yana. All right. So we're going to do like the super fire here because we're going to, I want to make sure we get through both lines. So go ahead.
Lightning round. Jenny Bradley, Cary, North Carolina. We stop smart people from fucking up their divorces. So first quarter 2018, second year in business, best quarter ever, $220,000.
Nice.
Compared to 99 first quarter last year.
Very good.
So with that money, for the first time in 4 years, I had money set aside. I paid my tax bill when it came. I was
nice.
Happy I had a tax bill because I made more money than I thought I was going to last year. And I paid the quarterlies and didn't have to finance anything for 5 years like I had been doing before. We found this amazing tool in our practice. Kristen, you're going to love this tool. I think you should tell people about it. It's called a calendar.
Woo! Yes! I get all jittery.
We went to the Umstead in Cary, North Carolina. Anybody going there, you have to go. If you're in Raleigh, forget all those hotels. Go to the Umstead, do the spa, do everything. Mitzi and I went to the Umstead for a weekend, sat down with our calendar, sat down with policies and procedures. Real sexy vacation, I promise you. But it has made a world of difference. I have calendar going to the gym, Mike. I've lost 5 pounds since the last LQM. We calendared our three vacations out for the next period of time. We've paid for two of those already. And we've just been doing amazing things on the sad sack news. Friday, we woke up here 3 hours behind East Coast time. Our paralegal we hired in March has quit. That's great, actually, because she's one of those people that bad luck finds. And in 6 weeks she's been with us, it's just been amazing, all the bad things that are happening to her. So now we'll get that out of the law firm, we'll get a new paralegal in, and it will be lovely and great, and we'll be on the new limits, I mean higher limits, or as they say in North Carolina, the ceiling is the roof. Only a Michael Jordan joke. So that's that. And thank you for that amazing tool you told us about called a calendar. Use it, people. It works.
Great job, Jenny. And there's something special about the Umstead because that's where I took my policy and procedure workshop from Arjon in 2012 and spent 4 amazing days there. And it was just life-changing for me to just sit down for 12-hour days and get that shit done and then get back to my office and implement it. So I need to go back. All right.
Hi, I'm Melissa Pierce. We help professionals redefine family through divorce, and we help mama bears who protect their children using a firearm. And I'm not up here to talk about my new grandbabies. but during that time, was that 6 months I was by my daughter's side for all her OB appointments, I was going through a lot of personal changes. The biggest one happened after the branding workshop in February that she pushed me to go to. I have not worn a barrette since that day for all you ladies that were there. I cut my hair thanks to Zara and the hairstyle she found for me that night. And every day I wake up, I look at the outfit I'm wearing and I'm saying, do I feel confident, unstoppable, and fearless in this? And I have changed the way I dress so I now look like that stay-at-home mom. I look like the attorney no matter where I'm at.
Woo! Nice.
I'm Nate Reardon. We solve complicated bankruptcy problems. I've been in HTM for about a year, and I'm going to talk about the year, and then I'll tell you what about the last 90 days.
Just quick.
I walked out of here in April, and after that, my dad got sicker, and he died. I got sued for malpractice by some fucking liars, who everybody agreed had a shitty case, but the damages were solidly $4.5 million. We mediated that and resolved it. Had my hip replaced. I got a staph infection, and our best friend's baby died, which caused my wife to basically move into the hospital for 4 weeks to take care of that family. And I'm telling you that story so I can tell you this. I only realized in a meeting with Kristen David that when I came into HTM, my revenues had been $550, $600 for 5 years. While all of that was going on, my revenue went from $550 to $785, and in this quarter, it went to about $325.
In just this quarter?
Yes.
That's amazing.
And the reason I wanted to get to the mic was to say, Erica Frenzy, Kristen David, Nicole Hanscom, Aaron Schultz, everybody on the forum, my cohort and all of you, you made a difference in that year in ways that you cannot comprehend, because never, when all of that was going on, did I have to say that I got to go back to the office because we can't make payroll, or that I'm losing clients because I'm not there. So when I was holding my dad's hand, when I was trying to pretend I was stronger than I was because my wife was freaking the fuck out because I had a staph infection, and when my wife was catatonic and I had to do everything in the house because she was grieving with this other family, my business was not falling apart. It wouldn't have been weird if I'd have lost 25% of my revenue, given that I had utterly no focus at all. But somehow, and this is by no means a declaration that I got my shit together, but somehow that shit didn't slide off a cliff. So thank you, all of you.
Great job. All right.
Jessica Stern. I own Stern Law Crim Immigration Firm in Atlanta, where we relentlessly defend the American dream. This is my two-year anniversary today at this LQM, and I remember sitting right around here and standing up and saying that I was going to feel success if I earned around $250 for the year. And everybody gave me shit, and I was like, I don't care about money. You know, I want to help people. It's not important. And this quarter alone, we brought in $250, and we're tracking for $1 million this year. And I just never in my wildest dream would I have thought I wanted that or needed it. But I've been able to pay staff team bonuses for the first time, so I'm helping them realize their dreams. I'm seeing the changes in them. I mean, they're saving for houses. They're, you know, trying to improve themselves, and it's been really rewarding to see the team grow and develop, and that's coming from me and from what I'm learning here and who I'm becoming. And that's been possible because sticking with the marketing plan and sticking with the things that they're telling us here, despite the fact that basically everyone in my office left or fired them. I mean, we're starting completely from square one last year, all the same positions that I hired and we started to build in a certain direction, I'm having to hire for them again. But instead of just thinking, you know, shit, this sucks, I can't do it, what's wrong with me? I mean, I have those moments, but the mindset and having the faith, as Arjan mentioned, really has helped me get through and be able to see the positive things, including buying a house in my dream neighborhood that I used to drive through and say, how can people make this much money to afford this? How do they do it? I bust my ass and can't do it myself. And I'm seeing the way that life can be, and it's a beautiful thing.
Awesome. All right, we got rapid fire.
My name is Kate Kilberg. I'm with Catalyst Law in Portland, Oregon, and we help successful people use their money in meaningful ways. And I just wanted to tell our story because when we came to the LQM in D.C., we were coming off a three-month period where we had fired three people and a fourth one had resigned. And it was pretty rough. I didn't get paid in December. And, you know, I had one of those moments where I was like, why are we doing this? This is crazy. I should just go get a job. And I was ready to quit. And then we came to the LQM in January. And we had a lot of support also from our CEO, Stephanie, which was really great. She gave us a lot of extra time while we were going through all of this. And I'm happy to say this has been our best quarter ever. We had 2 months where we met our numbers and exceeded them, which was really awesome. And we've hired two new employees who seem to be rock stars. So things are definitely on the up and up. And I've lost 10 pounds. So.
Woo! Great job. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Jamil. We help families stay in the United States and accomplish the American dream. So I feel the same way that someone shared earlier. This quarter has been mind-blowing for me. When I started HTM in October 2017, I was bringing in 10 grand a month. And today is the 21st, and I've already brought in 32,000 of this month.
Woo!
So,
nice!
I've moved to bigger office. I hired some. I mean, so many things are happening. I'm trying to keep up with it. But this past Friday, I was able to pay off one of my grad plus loans, $50,000 loan. I paid it off. So, yay! And then the other thing is, when I first started in October, my husband and I were having a lot of marital problems. And money is the number one reason why couples divorce. So now that we don't have credit card debt, we can afford therapy again, things are just much better. He's here, you know, enjoying himself. So. money does make a difference.
Great job, and you've been working your ass off, and yes, things go faster and faster and faster, but you just, you use your plan, and you keep moving forward. Awesome, good job. All right, you guys, we've got like, I'm not going to be able to get through everybody, I don't think, but let's go ahead. Hey. Ken, quick.
Ken Levy with the Levy Law Group. We give peace of mind to people going through a divorce. The last 12 months have been challenging for me. My wife and I, a marriage of 30 years, we decided that our marriage was over about a year ago. I had a serious health condition a few months ago and had surgery a month ago. I had the best year last year ever. I'm tracking this year for $800,000. The goal is $1.5 million. Life for me is flowing. It's amazing. I made the decision to be the owner of a million-dollar law firm, and it's just rock and roll right now.
Awesome. Great job. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. My name is Judith Luce Montgomery of the Law Office of Judith Luce, PA. We help fathers navigate the treacherous waters of the family law legal system without drowning, and we help immigrants obtain the American dream because I am an immigrant living the American dream. So I want to go as quickly as possible. Oh, I just want to do a shout out. I'm from one of the shithole countries. So I want to say that last year was my best year revenue-wise. We doubled revenue from 2016 to 2017, yet I was not on payroll. I could not pay myself a dime. My husband was handling all of the household bills so that I could keep the business afloat. What the issue was is that I got two MCAs, which are merchant cash advances, and so in 1 year I had to pay $85,000 back in merchant cash advances. Don't ever do it. So I want you to know that I paid them off as of March of this year. It took me a year to do that. So I paid $85,000 in MCAs on top of overhead, which is like $180,000 for the firm. So just imagine what that adds up to. But I am no longer on MCAs. The revenues, we are at $40,000, which I did not believe that that was possible a month to do, but we have hit that every single month so far this year. We're on track to double again by the end of this year. I came to the last LQM in January having fired or let go or they resigned, whatever, three staff members. I came here with only having myself and an associate. I had no front desk staff, nothing at all. We were doing it literally by ourselves. And so I want you guys to know that the same people that I hired are still with me today. So that's a big improvement for us. But I wanted to say that I am getting the A&Rs down. Yep. Kristen and Tanya have been amazing. But the biggest thing was people were filing grievances against me with the bar because I took the initiative to finally start sending people to collections, which is something I had not done. So we took the A&R from 87,000, and I believe we're at 53,000 now. But at least I'm no longer afraid to get that A&R down. So I want to thank Tanya and Kristen because, oh, I am on payroll as of January 1st.
The best
I am
part.
On payroll.
Great job, Judith. Okay, we're going to bring Arjun Robbins back up in just one more minute, so I'm going to give 30 seconds and 30 seconds. Rock and roll.
Excellent. Antonio Martin of the Martin Law Group. We help reasonable people redefine family. One of the things that has greatly benefited my firm is the policies and procedures that we put in place for collections and for grading the clients. So I was able to fire or terminate my D&F clients without losing any revenue. And I was able to hire two additional contract attorneys, which allowed me to chaperone my daughter's field trips. So,
excellent. So. Good job. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Eric Weingold. We help entrepreneurs raise money the right way so they don't get in trouble with the SEC or their investors. And we never got even close to 100K in a quarter, but I raised my standards. We're doing profit first now. And this past quarter, we did 160.
Woo! So. Nice job. Great job. Excellent, excellent. All right, so we're going to invite Arjun Robbins back up to the stage for a few words, and then we'll be taking a break. Excellent.
I'm not trying to embarrass anyone. Just understand, we take these recordings of these 90-day lookbacks, and we send them to prospective new members, and they still don't come here. Do you understand the level of the competition? I mean, you're kind of winning by default. I don't mean to take any pride away from you. But, you know, that's what you're dealing with, okay? I mean for that to be encouraging. It's like, holy shit, everyone here, and I mean that sincerely, everyone here can have a seven-figure law firm. There's no reason that anyone in this room can't have a seven-figure law firm that throws off $200,000-$300,000 a year of total owner's benefits. Some of that might be salary, some of that might be distribution, some of that might be, you know, other stuff. But there's really no reason. I mean, you know, you say, I want to have a $100 million law firm and I want to do it with this extremely narrow practice area in a town with no stoplights. Okay, maybe I'm going to tell you we got to make a different plan, but there's no one in this room that can't have a seven-figure law firm in if you want to. Which brings us to a little housekeeping. I made a note so I wouldn't forget. If your revenues are not yet to $250,000, and they're just not there yet, they're going to get there, but you're not there yet, you should have a blue book in front of you. If your revenues are under $250,000 and you have a red book in front of you, you know who you are, I need to ask you to turn that book into the resource table because there aren't enough red books and there are people who need to be in the over $250,000 room who need a red book and they don't have a red book because there are people who have revenues who are not yet at $250,000 and you've got their red book. You can get a red book later. We will let you download it off the membership site. You're not going to miss out on anything because you can download it and you can have it later. But right now, there's people who need your red book to do the exercises that are going to begin after this break. So I'm not asking you to like jump up and run to the back of the room right now. I took the wrong book. No. But just as you're going out to break right now, just drop off your book, swap your over 250 book for your under 250 book. Next, if your revenues are under $250,000, they're not yet at $250,000, the exercises that are going to be taking place in the other room are specifically designed to help you get your revenues over $250,000. Do not come to the room where we're going to be working on things for people whose firm, the revenues are already over $250,000 because you will double fuck yourself. One, you're going to be missing out on the information and the lessons and the exercises and the tools and the resources and the step-by-step-by-step instructions that you can take home, plug in, and make your business grow bigger. You'll miss out on that, which is what you need. And then you're going to be in a room where you're going to be exposed to a bunch of things that are really quite candidly just going to frustrate you because until and unless your revenues are over $250,000, you probably don't have 3, 4, 5, 7, 10 staff working for you yet, and most of the lessons that we're going to be covering in the over 250 room will not be relevant. So please give us the benefit of the doubt that we've curated this thing for you. You'll still get the recordings of everything that happens in the over 250 room. You'll still be able to download the workbook for that we're going to be using in the over 250 room. But we're not here to just impress you with a bunch of, you know, fancy information. We're here to make sure you go home and you implement and you get things done. And to do that, you got to be in the under 250 room. A word about the under 250 room, or the up to 250 room. Originally, that was supposed to be this room. And we didn't want you to feel like you were being treated like a second-class citizen. I'm getting an echo. We didn't want you to be treated like you're, feel like you're being treated like a second-class citizen, like you're being shuffled off to the other room. And, you know, the production value of the other room isn't as nice as the production value. The tables are still the same tables. The chairs are still the same chairs. The air conditioning is still going to be too cold. And originally, our plan was to keep the under 250 people in the main room and then put the over 250 people in the other room so that the under 250 people wouldn't feel like they were being treated like second-class citizens. What happened, though, is that we ended up with twice as many over 250 people, and they just won't fit in the other room. And so I'm going to ask the under 250 people to go to... I'm saying this the right way, Renee, right? Okay, I'm going to ask the under 250 people to go to the other room and just understand that this isn't like a slight against you. We're not treating you like a second-class citizen because your revenues are under 250. There is no deep hidden meaning in the fact that one book is red and the other book is blue. We just thought it looked nice, and I chose one and the other. All right? So, we need you all to clear your stuff. So take your stuff with you because you're going to be moving around to different seats. So everyone, take your stuff with you to this break. In subsequent breaks, you don't have to take your stuff with you. You can keep your stuff in your seat. But since we're moving rooms and people are going to be moving around, please take your stuff with you. Music.